Call the meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. Ask that you please stand and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Ellen Vanderhorst, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May I approach and provide you some material?
Please.
As she comes up, I'd like to just make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Thanks, Troy. I forgot that.
Once again, good morning, and thank you very much for the opportunity to address you this morning, and congratulations to Commissioners Furman and Dixon on your reelection the other day. Quite a historic day in our country. I'm here this morning. Well, first of all, I am Ellen Vanderhorst. I'm the president and CEO of the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber, but it's not in that capacity that I'm here today. I'm here today actually in my capacity as one of three co-chairs leading many hundreds of volunteers for the past close to 18 months on a regional planning effort for the four counties of Southwest Ohio. And my purpose today is to update you on where that work is. We have not yet completed it. We're still getting input. So my purpose is simply to update you on that work and provide an opportunity over, you know, the next few weeks to get some input from you. I also have the opportunity today to share with you the results of surveying we've done throughout the four counties and specifically share some of the Butler County findings with you. So again, very timely, and I very much appreciate that. I have given you a brief presentation that summarizes this work to date, and I'm going to walk through that with you very, very briefly because I know you've got a lot on your agenda this morning. So why did we begin this regional planning effort? It was very simply to transform the southwestern Ohio region by the year 2020, and that's our time frame, into a leading region for talent, for jobs, and for economic opportunity for all who make this region home. We assembled, and I'm now on page three of the handouts here, we assembled a very diverse, inclusive, geographically diverse group of volunteers to help us do this work. We had a very broad-based leadership team. We had teams of volunteers working in various subject matter areas, competitive economy, educational excellence, livable communities, urban renaissance, and effective governance. We also had some advisory teams, including an advisory group of elected officials, and we invited folks to a handful of meetings, I would say with some degree of success. Everyone's so very busy, but I know, Commissioner Jolivet, you were able to attend some of our meetings, and I believe also worked with us on our effective governance group, and we appreciate that. Where we are, if you'll turn the next page, in our process now is trying to finalize our recommendations and vetting them throughout the community. So we're in the June to November box. What has happened thus far is our action teams took a look at what the needs and opportunities in our region are, and what initiatives seem to be already in place that could be leveraged to cause greater results. We had subject matter experts from our area universities augment their findings, and we also held over 30 sessions throughout the region and invited all members of the community to provide their input. With that, we have framed a series of priority areas and recommendations, and we've then once again took those out to the community through a survey process, I have some of the results of the survey work for Butler County residents specifically that I think is kind of interesting and I want to share with you today. So that's the next couple of pages. pages in the presentation. We've gotten close to 3,000 responses to our survey, and it was presented online. We had hard copies. We communicated the availability of the survey through the media, and all of our region's newspapers made mention of it, as did, you know, some of our other media vehicles. We had over 300 people who live in Butler County specifically complete the survey. The information about those individuals from a demographic standpoint is presented in that packet. I think what's most interesting, if you'll flip to the page that says Agenda 360 Guiding Principles, is that we, again, asked our regional residents to react to some of the findings that were emerging through our work and some of the priorities that seem to be emerging from our work. And this is what we heard specifically in Butler County, not distinct from what we heard from residents throughout the four county area, that people place a great priority, I don't think of any surprise to any of us, but especially not to you all, on really being clear about what we're trying to do and accountable to get it done and track progress along the way so that, you know, we absolutely can move the needle in terms of being a better region for jobs, talent, and economic opportunity. We also heard from the folks in Butler County that they felt that it was vital that we look at this region on a whole basis as we identify priorities and as we move forward. And they really supported this notion that we focus on a few things that can really make a difference, but that we do some dreaming big in terms of bold strategies that can really move the needle. So what are some of those areas of focus? The next page provides the Butler County participants' answers to some of those questions, and you can see it there. We asked them to evaluate and rate and rank, and they basically said that in order to achieve this vision of being a leading metropolitan area by 2020, there's a need to provide transportation choices, make smart investments in our neighborhoods, make smart investments in other kinds of assets that attract and retain the best and brightest talent, identify some new strategies to grow jobs and employment, and continue the work to identify opportunities for government jurisdictions to collaborate to make these kinds of things happen. I think I'll move a couple of pages then, in the interest of time, to the very last page in our presentation here this morning, which is our work in process attempt to summarize what our priority areas are, what strategies are emerging to address them, and then a beginning look at some of the initiatives that are already in the marketplace that can be leveraged to accomplish that. So six areas of priority have emerged from our work. One is to grow the number of businesses. The second, to invest in the development of quality places. The third is to develop a larger, more qualified workforce. The fourth is to work on issues of mobility, both of people and of goods and services. The fifth is to enhance government collaboration. And the last, and these are not in order, is to become more inclusive. I'll take just a moment and go through some of the key strategies in each of these areas. In the area of growing businesses, and there are three major strategies that have emerged. One is to create a world-class health center in our region that would be a magnet for jobs and a magnet for research dollars, which creates a lot of wealth. There are a couple of areas that are being explored. One is around National Cancer Institute designated cancer center, and the other is around work in the diabetes and obesity area. And again, there are others as well. The second major strategy is to leverage existing and also identify some new key industry clusters that offer growth opportunity that we know can be successful in this region because we already have a presence in some of these sectors, and really take that work to a new level. And the third is to protect, enhance, grow air service in this region, which has been a huge stimulus for job growth in the region, and obviously is something that we want to not only retain but identify opportunities to expand. In the area or under the focus of building out quality places, there are four key strategies that our work has identified. Again, this is the work of many, many hundreds of volunteers. One is to enhance investment capacity on place-based kinds of investments, major developmental projects. The second is to empower neighborhood revitalization and growth and put tools in the hands of neighborhoods that allow them to do that and do them in a smart fashion. The third is really to connect and leverage our arts and cultural and entertainment assets. And the last is to pursue a number of activities that will help to green the region. Moving around the wheel here, and I will be quick, under qualified workforce, a number of strategies, not surprisingly. One is to increase college graduation rate in the region. The second is to create a regional system that really looks and guides children from birth through college. And the last is really to begin to more smartly align our supply and demand side, you know, in the workforce arena, and training along the pathway that allows people to expand and grow in their careers. In the area of regional mobility, which I will acknowledge is the one that people actually across the region felt most passionate about, but we have the most work to do, and we have to be smartest in how we do it. You know, first and foremost, we've got some major roadway projects in this region that need to be funded and built, and we acknowledge that, and we're working with the folks in Mark Polosinski's group at OKI on that. The second, what we are hearing from the community, it is this time to start talking appropriately about a broader regional transit solution, and we have to figure out how to do that in an appropriate way, perhaps starting with a broader look at regional bus and then other options. And then last but not least, we have all the elements of a world-class multimodal freight capability, and we haven't put them together as smartly as we could. And that could really help in terms of growing jobs, particularly in the distribution sector. Under government collaboration, there are three strategies. One is to build on some existing shared service practices, and the state is providing some incentives to do that now with funding that they've made available for those kinds of collaborative projects. The second is to increase leadership capacity, and so we have been encouraged to create some leadership programming for newly elected officials that allow them to meet one another and learn not only about the issues of most importance within their jurisdiction but across the region. And then last but not least, and certainly the most challenging but probably the most transformational, is to really begin to talk about multi-jurisdictional revenue sharing approaches. I know Montgomery County is doing some of that. There are some other counties in Ohio that are beginning that work, and we want to be in the mix as well, thinking about how we might do something so that the entire region is better off. And then last but not least, around inclusion, a number of strategies to make the region more welcoming, to embrace more inclusive practices and behaviors, this one we've put in the inclusion category. It could have gone in a number of categories, to expand basic health care service to all so that we don't have our emergency emergency rooms crowded for those purposes, but in fact can provide, you know, primary care service to all citizens. And there are a couple of programs already underway, and the Health Foundation wants to expand something called Access Health 100 that would address that particular strategy. So this is a high-level look at, again, the six areas of focus, the 18 or 20 or so strategic initiatives within them, and then some of the more specific programmatic elements that are being considered. We had a bias when we started this not to invent anything new if we didn't have to. This wasn't like, let's start with a blank page and let's create all new stuff because the things that are out there aren't very good. No, this was really about aligning the region from a priority standpoint, identifying the work that this region's already doing to address those priorities and getting people on the same page about what we should leverage up, what we maybe needed to change, and where, if at all, we had any gaps. So we're continuing this process of vetting and looking at the community research, and we're on path to present our findings to our region in a report that will be issued sometime in the month of January. I'll stop at this point. Happy to take any questions, either now or subsequently. It's a lot to digest once you've had an opportunity to think a little bit more about this.
Greg is kind of taking the lead for us in Butler County, which we obviously appreciate. Greg, you have any?
Just to say thank you for coming up and sharing this with us, and to, you know, reiterate our support for regional cooperation, and we want to do whatever we can to help make the region one and be a part of it, because that's, I think, as it shows in the survey, that as Butler Countyans, we want to be a part of the region, because how the region goes, how Butler County goes. And the same with, you know, as I've said before, you know, we need to have a strong, vibrant Cincinnati, because that only helps the region and helps Butler County. And that's so important from a standpoint of our constituents, as we say, why are we getting involved in this? And it's because it's important to us long range, because we are becoming one mega area, and it needs to make sense for Butler Countyans, and I think it does. You know, when the tire hits the road, though, is, you know, what's it going to cost?
Yeah.
And what's exactly the, what's the cost aspect, and is it going to make sense economically for us to be involved with the specific projects? And that is something that is going to be a sell for Butler Countyans, for us, to our constituents, to make sure that it does make sense as a county. But also, a part of it has to say that it, you know, we need to protect and grow the region, because it only affects, you know, benefits us. It may not be a direct benefit that we can see, but it does have residual benefits, and as a rock lands in the water, it has ripple effects throughout the region.
Right.
So, you know, I'm very encouraged that, you know, we're a part of this, and it makes sense. And as we go forward, I'm looking forward to the final report and where we go from there. I'm never one, and I'm speak for myself, to do a study or do a project that doesn't have some benefit instead of just putting it on the shelf. You know, this has to be continued and has to continue to move forward. So I'm very supportive, and I'm sure that the board is also. So thanks for coming up and sharing this with us.
We really appreciate it, and I just want to acknowledge that at one of our very earliest meetings, you spoke similarly, and I really think that was kind of a game changer in terms of a number of your colleagues sitting in the room. So couldn't appreciate more, you know, the support of you and the other commissioners. You have the commitment of our team that our goal is not to produce another coffee table book that looks really wonderful and sits on somebody's shelf somewhere, but rather really a roadmap to drive progress for every citizen in this region. Our final report will really be very specific about which organizations or individuals own which initiative, what progress is expected by when, and what that will mean in terms of really some of the ultimate outcomes we're looking to create around more jobs, and we will have a goal for that, and more talent, and again, raising the bar in terms of the economic prosperity of all our citizens. Mm-hmm. So thank you for your time this morning.
Let me ask one question. Are the local chambers involved in this?
Yes, and in fact, they are all involved, as are non-chambers, because this is not strictly a business-led effort, but Kenny Craig, in fact, was going to be with us this morning and had a conflict. He is a member of our leadership team. We've had just tremendous participation. I'm having one of those senior moments, so I can't remember the name, but the CEO of the hospital is also on one of our teams, has been doing a lot of the work around this world-class healthcare designation. Bill Murphy, now with the Cincinnati USA Partnership, but most recently, Economic Development Director of the City of Middletown, also one of the team leaders. So we've had great participation and very much appreciate that. We can't do this work, you know, without that kind of participation.
Thank you.
One of the things with the health aspect and the making it a world-class center,
yeah.
You know, with the arrival of Amblin in Butler County with diabetes, and I've heard that, you know, there's rumors of other companies that are coming to the area too, and I think that's a really smart move to try to capitalize on that. So I think it makes sense.
Great. Yeah, the whole pharma sector is one of those clusters that we have some concentration in through Amblin and several others, and we really are looking to grow.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, we don't really don't mind. I really do appreciate all the input and help and work you put into it. But, you know, you took one of our best economic development people in the county. So,
all right, I'll be leaving now. You know,
so although we do appreciate your help, you know, we do like to keep our talent.
Well, thank you for that, and we know that, and we're putting him hard to work to find businesses that can locate in Butler County, so it'll all come back. We'd like to believe it'll come back with a dividend. How's that?
You got one of the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Mr. Duckett.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'd like to add my congratulations as well to Commissioner Furman and Commissioner Dixon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'm here this morning to report, actually maybe playing off the end of the last presentation, we were talking about healthcare excellence in this community. I'm here to report some very good news on our program for health, prescription drug, and dental insurance for Butler County employees for the coming plan year in 2009. And as well to share the recommendations of the Health Insurance Advisory Committee for that year. 4 years ago, this commission made what proved to be a very wise, if somewhat scary at the time, decision to participate in a self-funded consortium of counties to provide health and prescription drug insurance for county employees. The County Employee Benefits Consortium of Ohio, or SEBCO as it's known, was at that time a new venture with only 6 participating counties. We were number 7. It had been set up by the County Commissioners Association of Ohio in an attempt to stabilize health insurance costs and to provide an alternative to certainly what we in Butler County had experienced as a roller coaster of the commercial health insurance market. It did come at a perfect time for us. Butler County had changed insurance carriers 4 times in the preceding 5 years in an attempt to keep our costs affordable. The pattern we were locked into at that point is that we would get at least a somewhat decent rate for year 1, and then uniformly face renewals in excess of 20% for year 2. In one particularly bad year, the renewal was 64% increase. And so then we would have to change carriers to find somebody else who could offer coverage at a more reasonable cost and with the attendant disruption to our employees and employee families. But choosing SEBCO meant locking in for a 3-year commitment when we only knew the rates for the first year. And that was the scary part. Our first renewal in 2006 was not the best news, an increase of 12%. But then the effect of the consortium, the benefits of the consortium were immediately evident even that year. Our raw rate, if we were standing alone and rated alone, would have been an 18.6% increase. the effect of pooling, meaning our, particularly our more expensive claims being shared across the pool instead of being borne individually, dropped our rate to 12.8%, and then the prescription drug rebates that we received dropped that rate another 0.8 to an even 12%. What I mean by the prescription drug rebates is, unlike with commercial insurance, 100% of the drug rebates that pharmaceutical manufacturers pay to the insurance company are credited to the individual counties and offset against the next year's increase, as opposed to commercial insurance, when usually those rebates are retained by the insurance provider. And so 100% of that cost comes back to the counties. In 2007, the news got far better. Our health insurance that year for that year only went up 0.8% after the prescription drug rebates were applied, and that means that for the first time in many years, we were able to keep employee contributions towards the premium flat, and we were able to keep exactly the same plan design. In fact, that was the second year we were able to keep the same plan design. One of the other changes that it had, one of the other things that was a common feature of our previous record, was that when we would change carriers, we were constantly also changing the plan design. So employees faced every year not only a new carrier, but often some changes in benefit levels. So it was very, the stability was very much appreciated by everyone involved. The news was even better in 2008, a rate decrease of 0.2% after the application of the prescription drug rebates. Again, that meant we were able to keep both the county's costs and employee contributions flat for another year. And I would particularly stress that for 2008, this was only possible because of our participation in the consortium. For 2007, the preceding year, and of course the rates for 2008 were based on our experience in 2007. In 2007, Butler County had over $3 million in what are called large claims, claims that exceed the pooling level of $125,000. In fact, we accounted for over half of all the large claims in the entire consortium that year. If we were standing alone that year, that cost would have been ours. By washing that in, and this is the phrase the insurance people use, by washing those claims into the pool for large claims, especially funded pool that all the counties contribute to, those costs came off of our experience, and that's how we were able to get such a spectacular renewal. But had we been standing alone, of course, there would have been no one to share those costs with. And that's the benefit of the pooling, with, especially with growing numbers of counties, and I'll address the growth in a moment. We have, every county has its bad year. We had ours. And the effect of that was that we still got a spectacular renewal that actually had a slight decrease in our rates. We didn't and couldn't expect that good news to continue. Healthcare inflation through this entire period, as you're well aware, often from your private businesses, has continued to be in excess of 10% a year. And yet we were holding these rates flat for several years. So frankly, we were bracing for having news this year that wasn't so positive. Yet last month we learned that In the good sense of the word, lightning can strike a third time, and learned that our increase for 2009 for medical and prescription drug insurance will again be only 0.8% after the application of the prescription drug rebates. To say I was thrilled about this, I was pretty much doing handstands out the door after the meeting where we learned that once again we would have that news. Now, on the dental side, this year we come to the end of a two-year rate guarantee with Dental Care Plus, the new dental provider that we started to use 2 years ago, and I will add, with great success. We've had very positive comments from employees and very few problems. But that was at the end of it. We were at the end of a two-year rate guarantee, so through our new health insurance consultant, Horan Associates, which is a company that's proved wonderful to work with, we went back into the market and of course asked for the renewal for Dental Care Plus, and after considerable negotiation, Dental Care Plus did a renewal offer for 2009 of 8.9% increase, which was the lowest increase that any of the providers who submitted proposals made. Our dental experience continues to be problematic. Our claims have run well in excess of 100% of the premiums we're paying, meaning our actual costs of claims exceeded the premiums we've paid over the last 2 years. 8.9% is actually a fairly reasonable renewal in light of that experience. And as I said, it still was the lowest quote we received. Based on that, the Health Insurance Advisory Committee has recommended renewing with Dental Care Plus for another year. And of course, we will continue then to be in the second year of our new 3-year commitment with SEBCO for 2009. For those employees on both the medical and dental coverage, which is the vast majority of our employees, the blended increase of that 0.8 on the medical side and 8.9 on the dental side comes to 1.26%. Now, the reason it's not any higher than that is the dental is actually a small fraction of the total amount of our costs. It's, if you will, it's the dog that wag. It's the dog or the tail of the dog, not the dog itself. The vast majority is the health insurance side. The Health Insurance Advisory Committee was willing to support increasing both the employer and the employee contributions by this 1.26% amount. But in reviewing this issue with the county administrator and I believe some of his discussions with commissioners, our recommendation now will be to continue to hold employee contributions for 2009 with no increase over the 2008 rates, primarily, of course, based on our extraordinary success in controlling costs. But there are two other reasons that we would like to share for that recommendation. First, our employees have very much been partners in the success we have achieved here. After many years of bad experience and escalating costs for both the county and employees, through our educational efforts, we really believe that our employees have taken seriously being good consumers of healthcare, asking questions about costs, looking for options, being conscious of costs, using generic drugs when they're available instead of insisting on name brand, much more costly name brand medications, and taking steps to improve their health. We have a growing wellness program in Butler County, and we believe that that wellness program is helping employees improve their health. I always, one of the consistent sort of mantras I use in talking to employees is good health is its own reward, but the side effect of better health is also reduced costs. And our employees, I think, are taking that seriously, and I think they are using the preventative care that we improved last year. That helps catch disease at an earlier stage when it's more treatable. And we believe that it's like a sea change. It's like trying to turn an ocean liner in the ocean. It's going to be something that will be only evident over years. But we think our employees are taking those steps, and that's part of where our success is coming from. So we'd like to recognize that by holding their contributions flat. The second, of course, is that with the serious economic problems that face not only the country as a whole but Butler County, we expect that many employees are going to be working next year with no pay increase of any kind. And so obviously anything we can do to hold down insurance costs during that time frame will be helpful to employees. Some final updates on SEBCO itself. At the start of this presentation, I mentioned that when we joined, there were 6 counties in the consortium. 4 new counties joined in 2008, bringing us to 18 counties. And we just received news a couple of weeks ago that 2 more counties are joining in January of 2009, meaning we will be at least 20 counties strong. We have a couple of other counties that are continuing to look at SEBCO, so we may be up to 21 or 22, but we're at least going to be at 20. And that growth has helped us to achieve, well, actually, I think that growth is going to continue because the story that SEBCO has to tell is positive not only for Butler County, but no county in the consortium received a renewal increase for 2009 higher than 9.9%, which means that every single county in the consortium renewed at a rate below the general health insurance inflation trend. And that's a wonderful story, and that's the second year in a row we've been able to deliver that kind of news. That growth has helped us to achieve SEBCO's goal, which is obviously to provide excellent health insurance for county employees at controlled, stable costs. Again, I want to congratulate the commission because it was this commission that had the courage to take the step in 2005, and it felt like a step into space a little bit at the time. Certainly, I was very nervous about it, but it proved successful, and of course, then you had the courage and vision to renew that commitment in 2008. Some gambles do pay off, and this is one that has done so for both the taxpayers and employees. So I just wanted to present that news. You have a resolution on your agenda later to approve the recommendations of the committee, but if I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have at this point.
Well, first of all, Doug, I think we definitely appreciate your insight on the SEBCO situation, considering the cost that we've seen across the country on the health care situations. So that's very good news for us, and it saves the county and it saves the employees money. So, excellent job. We appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Are we still the largest county?
Yes, we are. Clark County joined in the beginning of 2008. They would be the second largest and sort of the closest we've come to having somebody approaching our size. But at this point, we're still the largest county. The consortium, we're getting to the point where we could entertain a county the size of, for instance, Montgomery. We still, I think, are not quite large enough to be have a county the size of Hamilton or Cuyahoga. But we will, I think we'll eventually get there. In terms of comparability, you know, CORSA, which is the consortium we participate in for liability and property insurance, started similar to SEBCO and now has, I believe, is that 66 counties, Tim? Does that sound right?
I think that's correct.
66 of the 88 counties. But they've been around for, I'm thinking, at least 15 years. They were created in response to the crisis in liability insurance for local governments back in the early 90s, late 80s and early 90s. And our hope is SEBCO will eventually grow in that direction where there's no county too big to participate. But at this point, we obviously have to be fiscally sound. One of the things that's helped with SEBCO as well is for 2008, we had investment income of $1.8 million, 80% of which was plowed back into stabilizing the rates for counties for the following year. Obviously, in the case of commercial, no, we're not expecting with insurance rates dropping the way they are, their investment income will be quite as good next year. But in commercial insurance, that money obviously would have been retained by the for-profit insurance company, and instead it's being used to plow back in. And our administration costs come to about 1.8% of premium dollars paid in, and that compares to the profit and administrative margin that most private sector companies have of somewhere between 12 and 15%.
If Tim, what's the employee share? Do you know what?
It's about 8 to 10%, isn't it?
Well, it varies depending on the. Actually, as a across the consortium as a whole, it's approximately. Or not across the consortium, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Across the employee population as a whole, it's about 15%. It depends on whether they elect high, mid, or low. They vary by that, but averaged out, it's about 15%.
Which, if we follow the recommendation of one of the county general fund taking the 1.26 increase, what would be the employees would be saving? Their portion of that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how to do that calculation quickly off my. The total cost I know of health insurance total is approximately is in the $13 million area.
To be saving about $130,000.
Okay. But to an individual employee, that's what's that come down to?
The amount will be relatively small because the increase we're talking about is relatively small, which is why we can do it. But it is, it's certainly, I think, when you're looking at flat wages potentially for the next year, every bit helps.
Mm-hmm. We'll calculate that number for you.
Yeah. It's something that, you know, we're not going to decide that till we approve the budget, right? As we make those determinations?
Or the resolution presented today is calling for it to be flat, the employee contribution. So, okay. Of course, we can table that if you'd like.
No, I think that I don't have any problem with that. I don't know if anybody else does.
No, I'm fine. Especially when it's going to be a year where the budget's so tight. And
right.
You know, we're asking employees to hold the line and, more or less a baseline increase of zero if we can do it. We're not going to be able to do it on every instance, but I think that helps. I think that helps a little bit in that regard. I think you brought
absolutely.
That up, Doug. That was a good point.
And I will say this. I mean, usually my job, of course, is to represent the county to the employees, but in this particular case, on behalf of employees, saying back to the commission, I will tell you, I think employees will very much appreciate that gesture, whatever the dollar amount is, because it's recognizing not only what Commissioner Dixon just said in terms of the budgetary impact and the impact on their standard of living. It also recognizes, as I said earlier, that I think we're here in large part not for two reasons. First, this commission's courage in choosing the SEBCO experiment at a time when it was very uncertain where that was going. And employees being so responsible and trying to improve their health and control healthcare costs. And it truly is a part. That word gets overused, but in this case, it really is a partnership.
I think that, you know, the partnership is, you know, because the employees are paying part of it, they become more and more attuned to what they're paying for and making sure that their dollars go as far as possible. And that's why I think that, you know, by us picking up the amount, the increase, you know, I hope that the employees continue to be concerned about their health care costs and not get complacent to say, well, the county's picking up my portion of the increase. So they don't realize that, hey, there is an increase, but yet it's not being passed on to me. Mm-hmm. But I still need to be vigilant of how I spend my health care dollars.
And certainly that's something I'm going to emphasize in the communication I will do to employees about this decision and about the next year. I will tell you, Commissioner Jolivet, I'm a lawyer, and one of our occupational hazards by trade is that we tend to find clouds in front of every silver lining. My concern about this is that we become victims of our own success. The 3 years running, basically, we've been able to hold employee contributions flat because we've essentially held costs flat, that employees will become complacent and believe, well, this is guaranteed forever, or my costs will never go up, I don't need to worry about this. And so we will do everything in our power to continue to stress that. I do think that's one of the major benefits of the Health Insurance Advisory Committee, is having employees at both management level and line level participating from around various county agencies and inviting all the unions I deal with to participate. Some do, some don't. But they're there at the time we go through all these reviews. They know there isn't some wonderful option out there where everything's free and everything's wonderful. That they and we've seen through that process, which I think they take back to their agencies and help educate other people, that controlling costs is not a county problem. It's a problem that affects all of us, because we all have, again, to overuse another cliche, we all have skin in that game. Controlling cost of insurance, employees have a stake in it because they do pay a share of the premium. And if there were a significant increase in the premium, I don't think you would be in a position, and I would not be here recommending flat rates. We would say everybody's contributions will have to go up by whatever that increase is. I too hope, and we will do everything in our power to make sure employees don't become complacent about that, because the good news lasts only as long as there's the data to give us good news.
Thank you.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good job. Commissioners, have anything at this time?
Nothing.
Well, I was going to save this to the end, but as to join my people in the audience who have wished you congratulations,
yeah. Thank you.
Both of you.
Thanks, Greg.
One was a little tougher than the other, over the last year. But certainly very happy to have you both reelected, and also just to make a comment about the process itself, and to congratulate Betty McGarry and Lynn Kincaid and the whole staff, the Board of Elections. You know, they've had quite a year with the transition from the 10th floor to a new building and to run a presidential campaign. That was a daunting task just from the beginning, and they did a fantastic job. I know that, the Secretary of State kind of threw a couple curveballs in with the paper ballots and the early voting that the state has instituted, which I think in the long run will be a good thing. If we take some recommendations of spreading the polling places out, we won't have as many long lines at one location for the next presidential election. I'm not sure, whatever the board wants to recommend on that, and the directors recommend to the board, to us, but to the staff who've spent 24 to 48 hours of working almost nonstop, I say congratulations. And once again, the election process in Butler County was fantastic, and couldn't be happier with the process and how well and how efficient it was.
So. Good point. I concur.
I concur. They did a great job at the Board of Elections, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't go back just for a second and say, if it wasn't for the foresight of Commissioner Jolivet and Commissioner Furman, because I wasn't here to see the need for this different kind of election that was coming, and built that new building and had the foresight to stay ahead of the game. I'm sure the election would have come off, but it would have been a circus. I mean, I don't know how we'd have gotten that many people in this building and voted 40-some thousand ballots. I mean, the elevators would have been non-functional. We hadn't, wouldn't have had any park. It would have been a, it would have been a total mess. Would have been a, probably would have been a Cuyahoga County in the past. So for you two guys, that's where it all started. So I think you both deserve a great thank you from the voters of Butler County, because you provided them with the opportunity to be able to vote in a way that nobody's ever been able to vote before. And it's the basic, most important thing that we have to do in the county. And we know we're spending their tax dollars on this, and we're spending their tax dollars on that, and they're all tight, and we're all worried about how we're going to get through it. But I think you two deserve a great thank you from all of us for having that forethought.
I appreciate it, Don. I think we need to pass that on to our illustrious leader here as well. Tim has done a tremendous job in keeping the feet to the fire on the employees working out there to keep that building in place, and that was not easy. And we appreciate all your effort on that, because it is a nice building. All the citizens of Butler County can be very proud of their building and their facility and the ability to keep our voting at the level that it should be, and we're very happy with that. So thanks.
I know that today when we talk about how efficient and how smooth everything, I hope we remember that when we get the bill. because it's going to be a whopper. But the price of democracy, should be priceless. And that's, as Don said, the most important thing we need to do in this county is to protect our democracy and the right to vote. So when that comes, we'll just swallow hard and go on.
In that vein, I think we should also send congratulations to the new office holders and the re-elected office holders from the three commissioners, if everyone's in agreement with that.
Yep, good idea.
Go into communications, please.
Sure, we first have a separate resolution to consider to authorize the use of the credit card for the purchase of temporary lights for the election for the Board of Elections.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon abstain. Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
We next have another resolution relating to Board of Elections. And this increases the budget at Board of Elections at about $250,000 for some of the additional costs for the heavy turnout of the election.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon abstain. Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Now moving into travel and training. We have a request for Jeff Schlesman in the prosecutor's office to attend in Columbus, Ohio, the SBA training for $175, October 29. Ray Pater, CSEA, attend OCDA Executive Board and General Membership Meeting, $280, Columbus, Ohio, November 12 to 13. Matt Frankie to attend the DDTI 911 Users Group Conference, Columbus, Ohio, $272, November 17 and 18. Matt Frankie from the Emergency Radio System again to attend the APCO Charter Executive Board and Membership Meeting, Columbus, Ohio, November 11th, 12th, $196. John DeCombs, Economic Development, to attend the Area Development Site Location Consultant Forum, Phoenix, Arizona, December 7th through 11th, $1,409. We next have four-year consideration and approval that the transfers and increases and decreases in budgets. First, we have six items for the general fund. First is an increase in budget for $217,886. This results from a 4 to 5 year error in the posting of collections from real estate taxes for the homestead collections that was inadvertently credited into the general fund. instead of being dispersed out, so we have to pay the funds back in order to disperse it out to the other local governments. Number two, we have a reclassification between accounts with no budget increase. Number three, we have a reclassification between accounts in the area courts for $10,000 to cover the cost of parking ticket printing. Number five, we have an increase in the probate court, a transfer into probate court of $1,200. And finally, in a general fund for paramedics, we have a transfer of $30,000 between accounts because of the uniformed and contractual obligation that was under budgeted in that particular fund. Going to non-general fund, the commissary fund, Fund 1022, we have an increase of $100,000 in that account, an increase in budget for commissary supplies, and also an increase in budget of $100,000 for a new sprinkler system for the old jail. In the number eight, the motor vehicle fund, 1250, we have a transfer between accounts in order to fund a new contract number 2008-16. Number nine, the SVAA grant fund, 1364, we have an increase of $1,000 in appropriations or budgets for additional revenue that was received for this grant, and then the reclassification between accounts of $100 and $379. Number 10, the Addis Board, with a transfer between accounts of $400 for copier maintenance, and then a transfer between accounts of $225,000 for a 30% increase in Medicaid liability in 2008. Number 11, Job and Family Services, we have a decrease in budget of $80,000, followed by a transfer between accounts of $40,000 to increase the amount available for employee mileage reimbursement. Number 12, Children's Services, we have a transfer between accounts of $80,000to increase it for shared cost of placement. Number 12A, this is a sewer fund, Fund 3500. We have a transfer on the budgeted escrow to the R&I fund out of the annual or the operating fund. This is the amount of collections or revenues that is deposited in the R&I fund for future use. Now, under we have various number 13, various increases and decreases in the sewer fund, 3500. Number 14, we have also an increase or a transfer of $3 million from the water fund to the R&I fund. Again, an annual, this is part of the revenues that come in that are paired out to that particular fund. Number 15, Fund 4100, we have various increases and decreases in that particular fund. Number 16, Fund 4120, Water R&I, we have an increase in budget of $150,000 related to the low interest loan award that we received. Number 17, in the Butler Regional Airport, Fund 4900, we have a transfer of $150,000 to repay the general fund for an advance that was previously given to the airport. And we have a transfer of $500 to cover increased employee travel expenses. Number 18, the fuel depot, we have a increase of $100,000 in budget to enable a repayment of advances that was made to that fund from the general fund. Next resolution is an amendment of estimated resources or amendment of estimated revenues for various non-general fund accounts. The BMV deputy register, a decrease $55,100. Area court computer fund, decrease $11,000. Area court special projects fund, a decrease of $227,000. Common Police Special Projects Fund, a decrease of $10,000. Domestic Relations Computer Fund, a decrease of $500. Family Unit Fund, a decrease of $5,000. The Juvenile Rehab Center, decrease of $52,000. A Felony Delinquent Care Fund, a decrease of $66,000. The Waterway Safety Fund, decrease of $1,400. The Sheriff Revolving Fund, decrease of $3,000. The SEA, or Child Support Enforcement Agency, a decrease of $340,400. The Addis Board, a decrease of $50,000. The Addis Rehab Center, a decrease of $50,000. Workforce One Development Fund, a decrease of $125,000. Children's Services, a decrease of $827,000. The Trailer Park Fund, a decrease of $500. And the Regional Mobile Data Committee Fund, a decrease of $21,000. Next, we have a resolution to decrease the level of collections for the senior levy. This represents a reduction of one-third of the expected tax to be collected for the senior levy in 2009. This is a temporary reduction that will then be reconsidered or revisited next year about this time to determine if another reduction is merited or if it becomes unchanged at that point in time. As we move into personnel, we have a request to hire Tim Schroeder in the maintenance department effective October 27th, 2008. We have a request to hire Donald Brooks in the maintenance department effective November 10th, 2008. We have for your consideration to approve a leave of absence for Apolly Coons, investigator in CSEA, retroactive back to October 15th. We have a promotion for Dan Schupman to customer service tech for water and sewer, and his new rate will be $17.56, a 5.8% increase. Next, we have a promotion of a Brandon Codell in customer service tech and water and sewer, and his rate goes to $16.49. Next, we have a adjustment to Bonnie Winning, collective bargaining unit member. She's an eligibility referral specialist to Job Family Services. Pay is reduced to $16.15 as she ends a temporary assignment effective October 27th. Next, we have a decrease in pay for Sarah Keller, collective bargaining unit member. She's an eligibility referral specialist to Job Family Services. Pay being reduced to $16.76 as a temporary assignment ends. Next, we have a step increase for Donna Hensley, collective bargaining unit member. She's a social services worker one, Job Family Services, to $15.65, a 2.96% increase. Next, we have a step increase for Brandy Jones, collective bargaining unit member. She's an eligibility referral specialist to Job Family Services, to a rate of $17.45, a 4.1% increase. Next, we have to approve a suspension of Aaron Miller, Eligibility Specialist 2 in Job Family Services, for tardiness. Next, we have five payouts of personal leave time in accordance with the collective bargaining agreement in Job and Family Services, and these include Cherish Bell, $359.95, Tim Windhorst, $1,272.70, Pam Clark, $380.50, Rebecca Wade, $537.60, Cheryl Kremis, $134.39. We next have a step increase for Derek Johnson, collective bargaining unit member, social services worker four and children's services, to $20.98 per hour, a 3.3% increase. Next, a step increase to Ray Holcomb, collective bargaining unit members, and he's a social services worker three, children's services, to $21.32, a 3.3% increase. Next, we have a step increase to Kathleen Kaminsky, collective bargaining unit member, social services worker three, children's services, to $21.12, a 3.3% increase. Next, we have a step increase to Nicole Barber, collective bargaining unit member, social services worker three, children's services, to $17.97, a 3.3% increase. Next, we have a step increase for Shay Flores, collective bargaining unit member, as a social services worker four in children's services, to a rate of $24.63, a 3.3% 5% increase. Next, we have a step increase. Jessica Brown, collective bargaining unit member. She's a social services worker 4 in children's services to $24.63, a 3.3% increase. Next, you're requested to approve comp time payouts, you know, as follows. This is in children's services to Serena Knight, $384. Carla Day, $20.53. William Gallagher, $2,029.95. Melinda Richardson, $611.51. Julie Smith, $974.82. John Creedon, $190.10. Kimberly Short, $174.60. So we move on to Job and Family Services. Job and Family Services have 7 resolutions for your consideration today. The first 6 of 7 resolutions represent child care contracts that these companies have secured the credentials from the state of Ohio and have been examined. Their facility has been examined and staffing has been determined adequate. So the following contracts are requested for your approval. Sharon Hill Daycare, November 108, October 31, 09, $63,700. Elion Learning Center, November 108 to October 31, 08, $5,800. Lakota YMCA from November 30th, 08 to October 31, 09 for $5,000. Abilities First Foundation, November 108 to October 31, 09 for $153,700. Emmanuel Lutheran Church, November 108 to October 31, 09 for $7,300. The Trenton Church of the Nazarene, Miami Street, Trenton, from November 108 to October 31, 09, $43,800. Finally, a consulting agreement for November 108 to June 30th, 09, with FRS Consulting in the amount of $10,000 to provide for alcohol and drug services in relation to children's services. We move on to water and sewer. Water and sewer have 9 resolutions for you to consider today. The first resolution is a change order for the Macaulay Road Water Main Project. This is a change order totaling $46,282, representing 27 changes in the contract. The most notable is the addition of seeding and mulching for 5,442 cubic yards. In the amount of $32,656. Another most notable item is to connect long water services, 6 at $1,100 for $6,600. If we move on to the next resolution for your consideration from Environmental Services is to approve an extension of public sewer service to contingent sanitary extension. This is on Port Union Road. Next is to approve extension of public sanitary service to AutoZone. This is on Union Center Boulevard. The next is to approve and adopt updated sewer rules. These are in reaction to changes from the EPA that sets limits on discharge of, you know, various chemicals and metals from our wastewater treatment plants, thereby causing us to revise the limits from our various customers in order to set new rates for various pollutants that might be contributed by our customers, such as barium, chromium, copper, lead, nickel, zinc, oil, and grease. So the rules are, codified in the manual from Water and Sewer, which depicts all the changes in the limits and the amounts charged or surcharges for, you know, our various customers. Next, we have to approve and execute a control manhole installation agreement with Kathy A. Shepherd, owner at 86 Fox Avenue. Next, we have another control manhole installation agreement with Richard Brandell, owner of the Mountain Mud Espresso. Next, you're requested to approve an amendment with Henderson and Bodwell LLP. That's an engineering firm with a cost increase from $26,500 to $29,700. Next, you're requested to approve a OPWC disbursement for the $160,458.83. You know, this is a cast iron replacement main project for water and sewer. Next, you're requested to receive and refer bids for the Shaker Creek Relief Sewer. We received a total of 17 bids with the low bid at $873,967 from even from brochure, with a high bid of $1,512,975. So we move on to the engineer. The engineer has four resolutions for you to consider today. First is an exchange of performance bond for Rolling Meadows. Next, a cancel a maintenance bond for the Village of Providence. Next, to approve a request for the City of Fairfield for $157,826 for permissive motor tax fund, motor vehicle tax fund. Next, to approve a request for City of Oxford for $72,248.77 for the permissive vehicle tax fund. As we go on to miscellaneous, there are eight miscellaneous seven miscellaneous to consider. Nope, there are eight, and I am pulling one. I need to, I failed to supply all the information needed on the authorization of the standalone administrator, so I'll need to get you guys some more information on that. So I'm pulling that one off. So under miscellaneous, we have to receive and refer bids for a bid that we received for Job Seeker Tracking System. This is software for Workforce One. The bid is $34,000 per year. Next, your request to revise the names that was on the landscaping assessment. This is the University Point landscaping assessment, you know, out near the Cox Road area. Next, you're asked to approve a three-year agreement with Maximus Consulting. This is the consultant that does our cost allocation plan each year at a cost of $13,000 per year. Next, you're asked to select Horan and Associates as consultant for the county for the health, dental, and life insurance issues. Next, you're asked to take the recommendation of the Healthcare Advisory Committee for the acceptance from SEPCO, as well as Dental Care Plus, for the medical or healthcare rates and dental rates for 2009. Next, you're asked to approve Gary Sheets as the applicant's agent in regard to FEMA and working with FEMA in order to put together our claim that goes to FEMA, as well as our claims that goes to our insurance companies. Next, you're requested to approve a reimbursement of $32.06 to Marianne Williams for a light breakfast at the Workforce One meeting. You're also requested to affirm and appoint Leo Stinken to the Board of Zoning Appeals. Period covers March 108 to March or February 28th, 2013. And finally, under communications, you're requested to approve 228 payment resolutions that we've been supplied in your pre-meeting booklets.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
And we have one final separate resolution for payment authorization.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon abstain. Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Tim, how do we, with the gas reimbursement plan, do we strictly go by IRS regulations for reimbursement to our employees, or do we?
We don't strictly go by it, but typically we move whenever the IRS changes the reimbursement.
Well, I know that, you know, we did move that up when the gas prices went close to $4, but now when they're down under $2, is it prudent to take a look at that? Does, you know, to
I think it's reduce? wise to revisit it. That's correct.
Thank you.
Let's hope it stays there.
Yes.
Do you need that in the form of a motion or a second or anything? Or just
not that one. Okay. We'll just look at it and propose a new rate if it.
At this time, we're going to recess and go into executive session. Anybody have anything before the commission at this time? Mr. Schnabel?
So we have a motion. Well, we'll do the motion to go into executive session as soon as he talks.
Okay.
Thank you, and again, congratulations to both of you on your election. I'm just curious about the resolution that was adopted for the decrease in the collection of the Elderly Services Program tax levy, and I'm wondering if there are materials that are available that you use to come to that conclusion. I'm not questioning the decision. I'm just curious about information that was considered.
Sure. I'd be happy to provide you any copies that we've got.
Thank you.
Thank you. Move that we go into executive session.
Second.
Commissioner Dolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.